Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, by EverySite.com, the amazing technology of EverySite. Check it out. RunCatalina.com. We got the Catalina Eco Marathon coming up on Saturday, November 21st. And our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million and put out over 11,000 grants to keep disabled athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or subscribe on iTunes. Our next guest is producing a really cool film, The Triumph Project. His name is Jeff Fairbanks, former MMA, motocross, surfing. Jeff, you've done it all, my man, but triathlon is a little different, don't you think?
Yeah, to say the least, yes.
Talk a little bit about you, like we were just chatting. You grew up in San Diego, you know, surfing, motocross, all that. That's a totally different world. Talk a little bit about those sports and how serious you got about them.
Yeah, I did. I grew up in northern San Diego, a place called Carlsbad, and kind of grew up doing what I'd consider like the traditional sports, you know, like as a kid, you know, I was like soccer and baseball, right? And then kind of got to a point where I felt like most of my buddies started surfing and being so close to the ocean. And I thought, you know, what's this? Got into that and got to a pretty high level.
Yeah.
Kind of a pro level there. And just as time went on, you know, started seeing the writing on the wall as far as, you know, sponsors, you know, here and there and the pressure and all that stuff, and kind of realized like I needed to find something.
A real job?
A little bit of a real job and a little bit of kind of, you know, what's kind of next. And that's kind of what kind of led me into doing the MMA. And I'd done moto as a kid. I mean, I got a bike at like 5, 6 years old, you know, Marty Motes and, you know, a lot of the moto guys, you ride down just by the lagoon where I grew up. So every day I'd be bugging my dad to go down there. So I kind of naturally progressed to those, you know, to those after. I kind of always liked the adrenaline type stuff, but I really liked with MMA, what I really liked was a lot of the chess match of it, because there's so many different disciplines involved. So I'm curious, I feel like that part of that might be what attracted me to triathlon, but what led me there was kind of got into the moto, did the MMA, kind of then met my wife and had some kids, and my wife was kind of always nervous of me doing those things, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, just
for obvious reasons,
about me and all that stuff. And so I got challenged by a buddy to try to do a marathon. And I got to be honest, I'm not a runner. I can run. I just mean, I'm not a fan all that much, you know? And a buddy of mine says, oh, do this marathon with me. Come on, I'll train with you. I'm thinking, all right. He didn't train with me at all. You know, 6 months I spent, you know, outside Pacific Northwest, it's freezing, all this stuff. And I get to the marathon, and I just was surrounded by thousands of people, and I blew up. So I felt defeated, but I didn't want to be defeated. And so the irony of the thing was that I felt like, okay, I ran so many miles, but I felt bored.
Right.
Landscape changed, but mentally I didn't. It took forever, and I felt like I had nothing to look forward to other than like, okay, well, when and where is the finish line type of thing. And
right.
So I came back from that and I was like, you know what? I wonder if I could, I didn't think I could do that. So I'm wondering, I wonder if I could do a triathlon. You know, my wife's sitting there going, well, who does triathlons? I'm like, I have no idea. You know, I knew nothing about it. You know, she takes me to REI and is like, you need to get one of those suits, you know? And I go into the dressing room, I wouldn't come out. So I'm like, I'm not wearing, I didn't.
You mean like a tri-suit type of thing?
Yeah, the tri-suit, yeah. And I'm like, she goes, let me see. No, I'm not coming out. I wore wetsuits, that's fine, but I just never,
yeah.
I never cycled a bike. I never, you know, ran more than a mile, like, school. In swimming, I just have this thought in my head of like, okay, well, I surf, so I should be able to swim.
Right.
I rode a BMX bike when I was really little, so I know how to ride a bike. And then I thought, okay, I run a mile, so why don't I just try a sprint? And I kind of showed up, borrowed equipment from a buddy. I kind of feel like that should be like a requirement or
something. It is.
To feel like if you could do it, just borrow someone's stuff.
Exactly.
I get there and I'm complete. Like, I got a bunch of tattoos and I felt like I felt like I walked into a very vanilla environment. So I felt, for myself, I felt really out of place. You know, I could easily see around. I didn't have the right equipment. And I felt like people were looking at me, who's this tatted guy? Like,
right.
Why is he here? And, you know, my hat doesn't look like their hat. You know, my clothes don't look like their clothes. That type of a thing. And I felt judged, and I felt uncomfortable. But the kicker is that after I got done with everything and I survived, you know, crossing the line for me was something I didn't think I could do. So I felt really accomplished in it. And I told my wife, crossing the line, I said, I'm selling the dirt bike. This is what I'm doing.
Wow.
But the people that came to me after it were like, the thing that I thought was the judgmental feeling was actually something that made them remember me. And it was almost like an embracing factor. And that to me really was something that I never experienced. You know, people are like, hey, I saw you on the course. You know, they remember my tattoos.
Yeah.
Or they remember
yeah.
what I wore. And I just felt like coming from something where you don't, you know, being normal, a normal feeling in surfing or any of that stuff is like kind of a loner type thing. You know, you don't want a crowd at your spot type. I just felt very accepted. And I felt like, you know, no one's ever like cheered for me. Like, especially when you're in the same, like a competition, if you will.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the closest thing I could compare it to in my experience. And I just felt like this is so foreign. I love it type of a thing. And so that moment, I mean, within a week, I sold the dirt bike, which, like, the money you get from a dirt bike that has a motor and all this fancy stuff basically got me something I had to pedal myself. So I thought that was kind of a really, it's like, I thought motocross was expensive. And so, I've just never looked back. I mean, that day, single-handedly, the people helping, people helped me put my bike. I mean, as goofy as it was, I didn't know how to put my bike in the rack.
Sure.
I mean, just stuff like that. I had a surf wetsuit. I mean, and I quickly realized that, yeah, surfing and swimming are two completely different things. There's nothing that doesn't relate. Riding my BMX bike, trying to go off a jump, doesn't relate to cycling. And running a mile was, I needed to actually, like, practice. And so I then relate to my tattoos, and I'm like, this thing is kind of like habit forming and addictive. I see direct progress. I see direct kind of like evolution, and it's all based on the stuff that I put into it. So I just keep coming back.
What's great about it, I tell people all the time that, you know, in terms of the skill set you need for this, if you played in a pool with arm floaties and you had a paper route, and you played Capture the Flag, you pretty much have our skill set,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You don't really need to be any particular height or weight or have any type of hand-eye coordination at all, and you can become a triathlete. If you do a little bit of swimming, biking, and running every week, you get better. And
yeah.
It's the simplest thing in the world. You know, you start swimming in the truck lane with the pregnant women, and then you, you know, as you go, you move up, and you get a little faster, and then, you know, then you... You're immediately a triathlete. That's the cool thing is you can do it with, like you said, you borrowed a bike, had no clue, have a surfing wetsuit, and you still got through it.
Yeah, it's so on the head of the nail. I mean, that statement, and I feel like that's the huge underlying theme that I'm trying to convey, like with this project that I've just decided to do on the side of all the other things, like my normal job and. And husband, father, you know,
right.
Like trying to train, is that I felt there's this exclusivity, right? This kind of how I felt with motocross. You put on that gear, you're kind of like superhero status. People looking at you like, that's so crazy that you do this thing. I looked at the triathlete thing. I thought the same thing. I'm like, there's no way I can do that. I can't, I've never done any of these things. I can't. And it felt very exclusive. And then I crossed that line and I feel that superhero status, right? Like,
right.
I had my own self-doubt. I doubted myself. And then I started realizing, okay, well, I can actually doubt my self-doubt, you know, and figure that part out and then transcend that across so many other things in my life. But that part of it being so just breaking down that exclusivity to me, I felt like I didn't get that when I came in here. You know, I felt like I saw things much differently from my perspective. And again, like not coming from any of the traditional disciplines, that might have been my fault. But my aim is I want to showcase to people that, you know, I want all the community stories. I have all these plans to do these things, and I really want to showcase to people, especially those that were in my shoes, that you really aren't that far off. I mean, just like you said, it's like you have these basic skills kind of already in you. Like,
yep.
You know, if something chased you, you would run, right?
Exactly.
Most of us learned how to swim thanks to our parents, right? And most of us got a bite. So it's like you kind of are essentially equipped. And it's just crazy to me to people. Like, I thought here I am trying to inspire people by breaking this down and getting people, like, to kind of cross over. I've been realizing it's like, you know, when you kind of want to go buy a car and you're like, hey, I want to look at that Ford. And then all of a sudden you start seeing the Ford everywhere. Right, the one you want to buy.
Yeah.
But beforehand, you never did. I feel like that's exactly what I'm doing here. I wanted to, like, kind of inspire people, but what I'm realizing is that I'm actually being inspired more to do that by all the other, like, Instagram, like my Instagram account and the Facebook and all those social things. I didn't have that doing my sport. Like, no one could just come to me like, oh, Jeff, I saw you in the magazine. You better either know me personally or know where I live. But you couldn't just get online and just go, you suck, you know, and I see that, you know, and so I found instead of, I was so afraid of what people would think and if people didn't really like what I was doing, and I found the opposite. I've got a lot of positive response, but I've actually, my point is that I've been driven more so by the people that I found kind of like electronically than I feel like what I'm trying to do for my project, it helps actually me drive forward and continue on. Because it's an up and down. You know, I'm a one-man army, and I worry that people think that, you know, I got all this stuff behind me, and I'm like, well, actually, you know, it's, you're looking at them.
So when you think about it, as you get into the sport, we're talking 2013. I mean, you just got into the sport.
Right.
And you're not in the hotbed of triathlon up in Washington. I mean, water's freezing. I think you have a window for triathlon of about an hour. Right? It's like from August 11th till maybe August 12th, you can, you know, there's not a lot of big window for when the water's warm enough, where it's not pouring rain, where the air, you know, you just don't have a lot of triathlon up there, which is okay. But you've decided you want to do the Triumph Project and actually do a film, do a documentary on it. And I love the concept of basically what you're saying is I think there's a lot of people out there who look at this and think it's you need to be – they think Ironman. They think you need to be an uber athlete. And they think that, oh, my God, I could never do that. And all that stuff is wrong, right? And that's probably what you're finding, that this is the most this sport is so open to everybody. I call it an equal opportunity abuser. Anybody can get in at any time and realize that if I'm a runner, once I get to 40 years old, here's reality for anybody listening. You're done. You're not getting faster, right? You're not getting faster at the age of 40 as a runner. But if you're a triathlete, I could be 70 and getting better. Right, it's this fountain of youth that you can do forever and ever and ever, and I'm sure a lot of that has led to you wanting to do a documentary. But how do you? I've been involved with this type of stuff for a long time. Funding a documentary is not easy.
Yeah. Don't look. If I had known, so I started this a year ago. Funding. I had this. Sort of estimation of what I thought it was going to take, right?
Yeah.
And it went like five times past that, and this is out of my pocket,
right?
So I think people have thought that I've been like I get money or something to do this, but I struggled, and you're right. I mean, you know, I've been swiping the card, if you will, to get going, and what I had projected, you know, I parted ways with a video guy. You know, I don't know how to film. I've never had any film experience. I mean whatsoever. I do. I'm in such a different field than my normal stuff, but I was driven. And so I started trying to do like a root networking, like almost like guerrilla marketing. I thought, okay, if I can just get connected to people, because I am really curious, like, why we do this, right? I mean, like, that was my big thing. And I told people a year ago, I really want to showcase why. And I remember hearing, like, Jeff, I don't think anybody really going to care. You know, and I heard this from some people that had film experience that were talking to me, trying to kind of guide me. And all of a sudden, I remember the day that I felt like I'm on the right path. I got a text from a guy who had produced his own documentary. He wasn't understanding where I was going and everything. And he's like, hey, I think you need to change it up. I think you need to do something different. And all of a sudden he goes, actually, you know what? Ironman has just sort of changed their slogan. They're doing this whole why we try. I think you should stick with what you've been thinking. And I'm thinking, it's not that I have any affiliation with Ironman whatsoever, but I felt like he got it, and it just took someone with a little bit more horsepower, I guess, to apparently showcase that to him. But that's essentially what I've been trying to do from the get-go. And the funny part of it has been coming out of my own pocket. And yeah, at this point, had I known kind of all that, I don't know if I would have been here. It's a lot of stress and stuff like that, and I'm trying to kind of do the crowdfunding thing. I'm trying to kind of do the delicate, like, ask without asking. It's so uncomfortable for me.
You're right.
But I am driven enough to feel like, look, if nobody cares type of a thing and people, you know, don't want to support me, this isn't about money for me. This is just logistics. I'm gonna continue on like I have before. I mean, I've done too much. I'm not a quitter type of a thing. I think for me, it's been a lot of learning for me. I mean, I could say that I've learned way more than I ever thought. I thought this was going to be fun. I want to air quote fun. It was a lot more difficult than I thought. But I can tell you this. When I saw the trailer, I almost got a little bit teary because I kind of know all the back end stuff, right? I know all kind of the darkness and the ups and downs. And I saw this pretty little, you know, 2-minute deal. And my wife, even her, saying to me in the very beginning, I don't get why you're doing this. Like, you're not a filmer. This isn't your cup of tea,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm sorry, honey. You know? And she's like, we don't have money for this. I'm like, yeah, I know. Sorry for that. You know, like the whole, you know, apology later type thing. And she watched that and she did kind of like get a little teary, and she's like, I get it, you know?
Right.
And I felt like, then I have to keep going, you know? And I asked her, there was a point in time about 6 months ago, I parted ways with the filmer and I refilmed it, this trailer twice. And at that first, hill, if you will, mm-hmm. Parting ways, you know, I looked at her and I'm like, you want me to just call this, you know? And I really kind of, honestly, is like, I say I'm not a quitter. I was kind of like loading a question to her, like, believe in me type of a thing. And she said, absolutely not. You keep going. And I'm like, that's what I wanted to hear.
Well, you know, what's interesting is your timing is interesting because a friend of mine named Robert Lusitana, who actually was a San Diego guy and was one of the founders of Red Sand, the volleyball club.
Yeah.
Steve Tim is?
Surfing.
Yeah, exactly.
Too.
Well,
yeah.
Robert was a runner, and he ran with Coach Bob Larson, who's a legendary coach, coaches Meb Keflezighi, and he decided that he wanted to do a film on Coach Larson. He never made a film, right? He does Amigo Print, which is they print logos on clothing. But he created a film called City Slickers Can't Stay With Me. It's on Coach Larson. It's on Meb. That's phenomenal. He created this documentary, reached out to people who understood how to make films and
yep.
work with them. And, you know, I'm sure he spent a ton of his own money because this stuff doesn't just happen, and you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yep.
you know, he said, listen, at the end of the day, if I like it and Coach Larson likes it, that's all that matters, right? That's at the end of the day, you don't know where it's going to go. So why not go there? I mean, you know, a lot of people who became filmmakers – didn't start out as filmmakers, so you don't know where this leads. And the fact that you feel that passion to want to do this film, there's no reason why not.
Oh, you know, and thank you for that. You know, I mean, that means a lot. I mean, even just speaking with you and all of that, just the connectedness of this whole thing, I mean, to me is worth everything, you know. And I hope, I guess my overarching goal, if you will, is I kind of feel like it would be really meaningful to me that at the end of all this, you know, I just want to get it out to as many people as possible. It'd be to hear from one of those people just to say, you know, hey, you know, I watched this and I related to who, you know, because obviously, look, there's featured athletes, right? And they were chosen for different levels. But within that, to kind of interface with that message and those different avenues and different pathways are the community people. You know, I really want the voice of the community, like, you know, my thought is I want people to send us footage of why they do this, you know, like answering why do you do this and what are the things and how has this evolved for you? And I want that interlaced with their supporting what the feature people are saying. And, you know, we'll throw that up on the YouTube and we'll throw that up in production, you know, selecting the ones that, you know, have, you know, really meaningful responses and And I want that stuff to interlace together and really support that message. But what I the overarching component that I'm talking about is I would love for someone to relate to any one individual from the community that sent us stuff or one of the athletes and just say, hey, look, I related to X. And because of that, I've done Y. And if that's something like, hey, I walk around the neighborhood or, you know, something like, hey, you know, I was really intimidated to publicly speak, but I saw you guys do this crazy thing that I never, you know, I can't believe you do that. And now I do X or Y or Z. That to me, that's everything. Because that really is kind of why I'm doing this. You know, like I said before, it's not a money deal for me. It's a passion project. And it makes sense to me. And to have it make sense to someone else, just I feel like that's kind of one of, like, the best rewards. You know, you really just realize, like, all of that. I guess it's like kids, right? You know, they like, we have two young kids, and they scream and they yell and they ask for all these things, right, all day long. I want, you know. There's nothing like, hey, thanks, Dad, you know. Thanks for working, and you know, and thanks for like, it's freezing. I wanted my blanket, and you know, I don't know where it is, but you should know where it is, you know. And you go through all this stuff, and thanks for waking up in the night. None of that, right? It's just I want. But then there's that brief moment where you like see something that is kind of a reflection of something you did, and you're like, this is the greatest thing ever. It's kind of in a weird way. I don't want to say this film is as good as my kid. No, by no means. But in some weird kind of relational component, there are these moments where I see these things. One of those was the trailer, right? Like some of these, the feedback I get on Instagram. And honestly, it's like talking to you. This is crazy to me. I mean, this is like, it's so humbling. And like you said, the humbling factor of going into triathlon, it's like the people that have even just talked to me and been like, hey, I want to share this project. I know this person. I'm going to send it over here. It's crazy. I really don't have words for it. I don't know how that stuff works, but that is exactly why I'm still here and I'm still going uphill. And it's like, you know, if it's an uphill battle, then so be it, because that's what this whole thing has been about. I feel like that's what triathlon is challenging yourself and not kind of knowing what the end road is. But you're still there, you know, and you still come back. And so that's what I'm going to do.
I love it. Well, and the thing with the sport, right now, the sport of triathlon is in a position where, you know, there's a lot of options out there for people. Endurance entertainment with Tough Mudder and Spartan Race and Color Run, there's a lot of reasons for people not to choose triathlon. There's easier things. Triathlon, you know, you need a Sherpa to go to the race. You got your bike, you got your, you know, your spare wheels. You got it's a pain, right? And for cities, you're blocking off roads. So it's one of those things that the more we can tell people and show people how it changes lives, how it reaffirms for people who are doing it that, yeah, you know what? I love this still. Because sometimes when you're racing and training all the time, you sort of forget that you love it. Because it's a little bit of, oh, my God, I got to get to a five-hour ride. It becomes a little bit of a job. And this can be having something in theaters or online that shows that journey of Rachel McBride or of Dave Mira or of your buddy Jack Toland or yourself. I think that can do something to get someone who's never done a triathlon before off the couch and become part of our world, which is, you know, from my perspective, the more the merrier. We always want new people coming into the sport.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's funny because I think the levels that people can kind of gauge onto, like, I think the same thing. Like, you know, Miren McBride and even Toland, you know, they're going down and they're doing the full Ironmans, you know, and I look at that and I'm just being honest. I look at that and I think, I don't know if I can ever do that. You know, like, I've done a half.
Right.
Right. And it's funny to me that, like, I use like a race component. It's kind of like a check-in. You know, like a recalibration. Like, how am I doing? Right? I do it, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's better than I thought. You know, and I remember doing a half, and then I remember kind of a couple months after I did like an Olympic, and I remember going out on the run in the Olympic, and I thought, how in the world did I do a half?
Exactly.
You know, like
I'm
looking at dawn to six, and so I feel like I go through all these different things, and I'm sure lots of other people do, right? I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel, but with those statements, but I feel like. What I've heard a lot of surprising people that as I'm kind of learning, like, okay, what do you do? Like, how do you train and stuff? You know, like, I have a family, and what I was used to is, like, if I wanted to surf, and I surfed even when I first moved up here to Washington. It was a 2.5-hour stint to the coast.
Yeah.
You know, and then I get there, and it could be blown out, the tide's wrong. everything I thought on their charts, you know, just isn't there, isn't reality. It's a real bummer. And then moto, you know, I'd be sitting here in the wintertime, you got to drive 3-4 hours onto the east side where it's dry, right? And so essentially to my wife, I'm gone all day, right?
Yep.
And then I could potentially come back and be not really too happy about what I did, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so with this, what's funny is I have like a trainer, so I actually don't really ride on the road much. I'm still a little bit scared of cars and all that stuff.
As well you should be, yeah.
So 90% of my stuff's on a trainer, like a, you know, you just kind of connect to it and do your thing. Yeah, indoor trainer. I run right outside my house around the neighborhood, right? And then, you know, most people have access to a pool or something like that. And so for me, like the front doorstep type deal, it's amazing. Like, hey, I got to go run, 3 miles, let's just say. Okay, see you in a little bit. Run out around the neighborhood, come right back, do my lap. If you want to do the training, you know, kids are watching a show before they go to bed, I'm on the trainer. And so there's so much. None of my other sports could I sort of like kind of
connected you with your family.
Place into certain parts of the day.
Yeah.
And so with that, it's made it really cool for me to be able to do this, because I felt that way too. Like I looked at this and I thought, okay, how do you do a half? Like, what do you? I got to practice riding for a little bit. Like, I should at least try to practice riding as long as I need to do it, right? Like that mileage, that time, and how am I going to do that? And all these people, like you said before, it's like, oh, I have a 5-hour ride here, 5-hour ride. Like, at my point in life with the kids and stuff, like I don't have that type of commitment. And I think kind of my angle is showing, like, you know, you can break some of this stuff up, and it's not as daunting as you think. You know, I can get up before work and I can get an hour on the trainer. I do my work. I come out, the kids have a show, I do another hour, and I take my kid and my oldest boy, Cohen, we'll go in the jogger, and I can jog a couple laps.
Right.
And it's just that simple, you know? And then I get my stuff in, the kids are like, I want a bike, you know? And I'm like, hey, how cool is this? Maybe
exactly.
I'm going to be, you know, trying to chase my kiddos at some point.
Exactly,
but,
yeah. That's
yeah,
awesome.
So I love that. I mean, moto, surfing, I couldn't do any of that. MMA, no.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, this to me is a real... It's really nice.
So,
change of pace.
What is the, in terms of when the film will come out, what and how can people help?
Yeah, so people can help. So the film, let me answer the when it's going to be done. The film's aimed to be done at the end of next year.
Okay,
so we had some plans with the Kona stuff. Some athlete schedules, conditions changed this past year.
Yep.
That didn't happen. And so there's been... blessing in disguise, there's been a lot of transition into what, like, McBride is doing. You know, she's moving to the full distance.
Right.
You know, Dave's going out for Kona. Jack's going to try for Kona. So it's like all of a sudden I had such a variation last year, and now we have everybody hoping to be at that top spot at the end of next year. So the goal is filming there as the last component, finishing things up, so before the end of the year, having everything done and released.
Love it.
For people to help, you know, I have a Kickstarter that's going on right now till the end, just before Thanksgiving. It ends on the 21st. They can always, on our website, people can always donate. And then we've also affiliated with, I have like a fiscal sponsorship. And again, I'm learning all this new to this, but it's a fiscal sponsorship with a nonprofit so that it can allow for people, like for their companies or anything like that, to do tax write-offs.
Yes.
So they actually do it through... they write everything to the nonprofit, and then I'm affiliated with them. And so I have that option as well for people. But anyone can always just hit me up. I mean, I do my best, you know, info@thetriumphproject.org or, you know, Instagram is probably what I run off of mostly. And I do get back. I try to pride myself on that. If all of a sudden tons of people hit me up, it might take me a little bit, but I do.
You get back.
I do get back.
Cool.
Yeah, I do get back.
Cool.
And just be careful. It's just me, right? So
yes.
It's just little old me, but yeah, it's
good
it's
for you,
been,
Jeff. That's cool.
It's been amazing. I hope, you know, honestly, I hope we're actually coming down to San Diego in a couple weeks. Have some training down there. So
love
I'd
it.
Love to
well,
stop
definitely,
by,
yeah,
say,
absolutely.
Say hello to you or something like that.
Love it. Definitely
in my,
connect.
In my
I'll give
backyard.
You. I'll give you a tour of our. You probably haven't seen our CAF building. I'll give you a tour when you're down here. It's pretty amazing.
No, but I would love that because I've actually exchanged some emails and stuff with Rudy.
Oh yeah,
and him and I kind of when I first started, and he kind of transitioned off into the swimming thing a little bit more, unless that's changed. But you know, I'd love to do some. I was told him too. I said, you know, if you're around, let's swim, let's do some stuff. So I'd love to see that. That'd be great.
Awesome, Jeff Fairbanks has been our guest. Jeff, thanks so much for taking time. Congratulations again. It's the Triumph Project, thetriumphproject.org. If you want to find out more information, help out. Jeff is doing this all on his own and showcasing Rachel McBride, Dave Mirra, the BMX legend, Jack Toland, and himself in this film that will basically showcase why people try. And that's the question that a lot of people ask. But once they get in, man, once they put that number on for the first time and someone's writing a number on their arm or legs, we've got them forever. It's the best sport in the world, and I'm guessing that the film, The Triumph Project, is going to bring that to light. Jeff, thanks again for taking time.
You bet. Likewise. Thank you so much.
All right. See again, you. We're brought to you by Ironman U, EverySite.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep disabled athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.